Welcome now to the midday for a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Norman Gilliland with you from Buck's studio here at WPR, which means live music. And today we'll have a full hour with the Griffin String Quartet. And they consist of violinists Roy Meyer and Alex Norris, and violist Orion Seig. And the cellist for the group is Jesse Newmalin. And welcome, everybody. I get them all right? Get those names right?
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Welcome to the midday. Happy to have you here. And you get at this time of year to do some touring, looks like.
Yeah, today we're super grateful to be playing here. We also have concerts coming up in Green Bay and in Door County this weekend. So we're kind of here to play a bit of that program.
So you're part of the Midsummer's Music phenomenon in what way?
Well, in Door County, there are no strings in schools. Of course, Midsummer's Music has been around for over 30 years and has a great presence in the summer, but the founder of that program, Jim Birkenstock, saw a real need to the area to have more string education and more professional ensembles throughout the entire year. So one of Griffin's many goals is to fill that void. There are also no professional classical ensembles in Green Bay, so we're doing our best to do what we can.
And going to use the term very loosely, what are your day jobs when you're not playing with Griffin?
These are our day jobs. We are full-time string quartet. We also teach in the area. We have several private students. We do programs for schools and programs that promote literacy. So we pair books with music. And we also do programs with the Boys and Girls Clubs and many, many, many other outreach things.
Now let's go back exactly to 100 years ago in the year 1926, and this piece by Rebecca Clark, a composer who I think is being, it's fair to say, rediscovered after a long hiatus.
Yeah, actually, this piece that we're about to play was rediscovered in the early 2000s when scholars were searching for pieces composed by women, and the poem, which we are about to play for you, is the Adagio from her two movements for a string quartet, and it was composed in 1926, exactly 100 years ago.
Yeah. Here we go then, poem for string quartet by Rebecca Clark.
Thank you.
Poem for a String Quartet by Rebecca Clark, played by the Griffin String Quartet live in our Buck studio this Tuesday afternoon. One reason that Rebecca Clark was not better known for a long time, she pointed to herself. She said, well, I never was very good at tooting my own horn. Had a really interesting heartbeat effect there in the cello, didn't we, in that piece?
Yeah, totally. I love how the end of that just kind of goes really inward and disappears, becomes very personal, I think, at the end.
An intimate piece, yes. We'll be hearing more from our string quartet right after this here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Back now to our Buck studio and live music from the Griffin String Quartet. And we began with an English composer, Rebecca Clark, and we'll continue with another English composer, William Walton, one of those who has the distinction of being really solidly one foot in the era and the production of film music and the other in classical music, and very well known in both of those, moved in very high circles, wrote things for royalty, you know, royal marches for coronations and that kind of thing. Not that well known for his string quartets, although once discovered, they get high praise from those who find them. And what do we have at hand?
Well, we're going to start with the second and third movements from his string quartet in A minor, written in 1946. He had written another string quartet about 20 years earlier, but he said that it sounded like undigested Schoenberg and Bartok. I didn't want that one to be played as much as this one.
Sounds so English, doesn't it? What does it sound like to you all?
I actually haven't. That one's less played and less recorded, I think, than this one. Although this one is not frequently recorded either and not yet a staple of the string quartet repertoire, although I do think it will be soon.
And what? How are these movements indicated? Just tempos?
Yes. The second movement, which is we'll play first, is a scherzo, and you know some of the film scores that he wrote for a lot of Shakespeare, Henry V and Hamlet, As You Like It, and this one it's got a lot of. It's very quick, very mischievous. It kind of has some elements of Puck from Midsummer's Night Dream, and then the third movement is marked lento. And one of the critics or a friend of his wrote at the premiere that it sounded like an elegy, though he didn't write it for anybody in particular. However, a year after the premiere, his wife passed away. So some think there was maybe some forethought in that.
And we'll be having our quiz question after this, somewhat later than the usual 12:30 for the sake of getting both of these movements in sequence, with perhaps just a slight pause in between, from the String Quartet No. 2 in A minor by William Walton. Scherzo and Lento, the second and third movements of William Walton's String Quartet No. 2, as played live in our Buck studio this Tuesday afternoon by the Griffin String Quartet. We'll be hearing more from them, and I'll finally get to the quiz question, too, right after this, here on WPR. And here's the review of yesterday's 12:30 quiz question. Increasing their size has decreased their number in many entertainment venues. That would be making the seats wider, which over the last 100 years, they've gone from about 19 inches up to 21, all the way up to 24 inches. And we won't get into the reasons for that, but the wider the seat, the less room you have to put those seats back in when you do a refurbishing. That was yesterday's question. Here's today's. It's kind of a cross between a quiz question and a public service announcement, and go ahead and look it up. It's okay this time around. Today's question, a close look at a menu or a parking meter is now a particularly good idea for this reason. What reason would that be? A close look at a menu or a parking meter is now a particularly good idea for this reason. Identify the reason in the next 17 minutes or so, and maybe you can win the prize today. You can email your answer to us the usual way at midday@wpr.org, or you can call 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Amanda. And as usual, find out who wins our prize from among our correct answerers today. You want that one more time before we go? A close look at a menu or a parking meter is now a particularly good idea for this reason. Get that sorted out just before 1 o'clock, and it could be your day to win the prize. In the meantime, the prize for all of us is the music live in our Buck studio from the Griffin String Quartet, and they will be favoring us in a moment with some Beethoven. Before we get to that, though, I wonder, how did you all come to coalesce as a cogent ensemble?
Well, the Griffin started in 2018 by this idea, and a few years ago, Jesse and Alex joined, and I was one of the first members, but Alex and I actually went here to UW-Madison for our undergrads and just happened to live in the same house for one of our years as we were studying, and Jesse, I knew Jesse when I was about 4 years old. We grew up in the same Suzuki program in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. Oriana is our newest member, and comes from a little bit further away than Stevens Point. She is coming to us from Israel. So.
And actually, Jesse, I read somewhere you started playing the cello at the age of 3. Is that right? And so you couldn't have been much older than that.
No, I was the same. And I think I was at his first recital. He played Twinkle.
Well, clearly it made an impression. And now to the work of Beethoven, who over the course of his career developed quite a bit in the sense of his string quartet writing from the Opus 18 all the way up to 135. It started getting a little strange for some of his contemporaries.
Yes, I mean, with the Opus 18 quartets, he perfected the classical form. And with the Opus 59s, this piece was written in 1808, only 4 years after the Eroica Symphony. And similar to that work, these works revolutionized the genre in terms of scope and form. But interestingly, to me, this piece is a fair amount more conservative than the Eroica in that we are going to play the third and fourth movements for you. The third movement is a minuet and trio, long after Beethoven had been writing great scherzos for many years. So he chose to honor an older form. However, he subverts expectation in that the minuet and trio goes attacca into the finale, which never happens for a minuet and trio. And the finale is also honoring an even older form, the fugue. The finale starts with a fugue. However, the scale and the scope of the fugue and of the work in general is just far beyond the quartets that had come before.
Well, and again, you know, the last thing he wrote, right, the Girls of Fugue, right, was huge for many incomprehensible fugal exercise from Beethoven. So this will be from somewhat before that, but the same thing taking place. And this will be the two movements from Beethoven's string quartet in C, Opus 59, the third and fourth movements. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bravo. Quite the workout for everybody in that set of movements from Beethoven's String Quartet number 3 in C, Opus 59, from roughly midway through his String Quartet production. And galloping finale there for that in the form of, I thought at first was going to go into like a perpetual motion, and see how long our performers could hold up through that wonderful romp. These string quartets were written for performance in what kind of venue? Private homes with nice drawing rooms, that kind of thing? As opposed to concert halls?
Yes, I think so. I mean, they were commissioned by the Russian Count Razumovsky, and I think he wanted to show off to his friends just what kind of influence he had. Even though they were meant for a small environment, you can easily imagine these were the works where you might start to think, maybe this needs to be in a bigger hall.
Well, it has a... When you're in a small space with it, And I suppose our Buck studio here is roughly equivalent to some of the smaller drawing rooms back in the day. You can really appreciate the symphonic power that those four instruments, two violins, viola, and cello can put out, and with Beethoven is particularly powerful. And what's your next venue as the Griffin String Quartet?
On Friday evening, which is May 22nd, we'll be at Hope Church in Sturgeon Bay. On Saturday, we'll be playing at the Art Garage in Green Bay. And then on Sunday the 24th, we'll be at the Crest Pavilion in Egg Harbor, where we'll be playing the Rebecca Clark, as well as the entire Walton String Quartet and in the entire Beethoven.
So this was just a tease.
Just a tease, yeah.
Well, that's okay. It's things to look forward to. And in that Beethoven, briefly, each of you had what role do you think to play in that? Was there a particular star in terms of the voices, or was it pretty much democratic?
Everybody. I think it's pretty democratic. In Beethoven quartets, I think he's kind of one of the early ones to do that, where, you know, in Haydn, sometimes the first violin can be just a concerto almost at times, but in Beethoven, he really treats each voice uniquely and individually, and gives them everybody something really special to do.
And he did play chamber music himself occasionally, at least. Seems to have had a good time doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think of composers like this, like Bach and Beethoven and Brahms. In a small ensemble like this, I really feel like they ask you to give so much more than is possible. And so you just keep trying to pursue what that vision that you think they had that just is so much bigger than these four instruments. But that's kind of the beauty of it, is trying to pursue that. And
well, you can spend a whole career kind of developing your approach to
exactly
those works.
Yeah, with Bach especially, and Beethoven, it's a lifelong pursuit of what are they trying to say, and how can I, you know, how do I figure it out? And
well, thanks for saying some of it for us today during the midday.
Absolutely.
Members of the Griffin String Quartet, including violinists Roy Meyer and Alex Norris, and the violists Oriane Seig, and just now you heard from Jesse Neumelin, the cellist. And that gets us to the results of our quiz question for today. As I say, it's as much a public service announcement as a quiz question. Goes like this: a close look at a menu or a parking meter is now a particularly good idea. Why would that be? Because the QR code on there can be put on there by a fraudulent player, and you think you are paying a parking meter when in fact that money is going to a scamster. So take a close look. If it looks like there's a little something underneath it, run in the other direction. So that's our answer today. Our winner is Kate McMacken, location unknown. And if she will send us an email and an address, we will send the prize, which is actually a treasure trove. We'll get back into giving some more treasure troves away for the next month. We would like to thank our engineers, Brad Kohlberg and Sarah Hopeful, for helping us to get on the air today with the midday and our live music. And also Ruth Ann Bessman in our broadcast studio, and Amanda, who answered your phone calls. And there's more music with Lori after the latest stories in the news from NPR and WPR.